like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 20 May 2024. Hard to believe this month's about gone. How quickly this year is passing. And I'm sorry, but I'm back. Y'all had enjoyed last week, I'm sure, when I had guest host on. I took a few nights off. I didn't get to take the trip I wanted to for medical reasons, but nonetheless, I'm back with you, and hopefully we'll do something to bless you this week and maybe enlighten you on some things and make a difference in your life somewhere. Before I go to the guest, though, I want to make an announcement, if you don't mind. Crystal got together today, and we have some materials here. Y'all know we put out a grab bag once in a while. That's stuff that we have left over from different things. All good information, like the Once Saved, Always Saved book. We're overstocked on those. If you want to know the truth about this Once Saved, Always Saved, this is a book that you're going to want to have. Along with that, we're going to give you The Witch That Switched. Yeah. A true story about Watergate, of all things. I know it's old, but folks, it's interesting. You're going to get a book about organ donating and why it's not considered the right thing to do. You get a bunch of random DVDs threw in with it. You get books about 23 Minutes in Hell and one other book. A couple seminars we did years ago that are still available. And we're going to kick in a King James Companion Archaic Words Dictionary. All that for $55, folks. That includes shipping. So if you'll trust us and say, send me a grab bag, $55. We're going to pack it for you and send it out to you full of great information that you're going to really be happy, I think, that you received. I mean, again, at least 8 or 10 different things. There are more, actually. Can I count DVDs? Probably 4 or 5 DVDs and different books. $55 delivered to your door. You know, folks, they're all good material, and they're just sitting here because they're no longer in the catalog. So we want you to have them if you want it. By the way, if you want our spring and summer catalog, give us a call at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 and tell Lisa I want a catalog, give us the address, no charge, right out to you. Or if you want the grab bag, just tell Lisa you want the grab bag, and we'll take care of that with a money order, a check, or a debit card, credit card, whatever you want to do. Just let us know what we can do to help you with that, okay? Our guest tonight is a lady I have had on before, but it's been quite a while. Her name is Ingrid Skop, Dr. Ingrid Skop. I mean, about any topic you want to talk about, this lady's on top of it. We're going to discuss a couple different things tonight. We know that some time back, Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade, which, yeah, it's a good thing. It was a good thing. And put it back into the state's hands. But the states are so corrupted that 6 of them have already voted to make it a constitutional right in the states, including Ohio and others, to murder children in the womb. That's how far gone America is. Yet we think some man is going to save this country. But anyway, we're going to discuss the kill pill. That's now available to everybody who wants it. And a whole lot more than that with this lady that has enough courage to stand up and speak the truth. Yeah, she catches flack for it from time to time. But folks, telling the truth in a world full of lies does not make you a popular individual. Dr. Ingrid, are you there?
I am. Thanks, Pastor Rich.
It's good to have you back with us. It's been a while, and it's good to have you back. Thanks for taking time to join us tonight.
Glad to be here.
Well, tell the folks who Dr. Ingrid is. What does she do? How'd you get started with all this, we'll say, political? It's not political, it's actually moral, but moral issues like murdering babies. How'd you get started with all that?
Well, I've been an obstetrician gynecologist for over 30 years. And, of course, I love both of my patients. I think the developing human is the most miraculous, beautiful creature. But I also love his mother. I love taking care of women. And over the years, I've just discovered that so many women My patients had been harmed by abortion. Sometimes it was physical. Sometimes they lost the ability to have children. Many times it was emotional and mental health consequences. And so I began really digging into this to discover, well, why are we promoting this to women when, in fact, it's harmful to them? And then we see families. We see the breakdown of the family that has come alongside readily available contraception and readily available abortion, so that we've really separated the act of intercourse from its true meaning in marriage. And now people seem to think that it can just be a recreational activity, and that somehow they're guaranteed that it will not go on to the natural consequence, and that is the production of a new human life. So as I dug into it more, discovered more, I began speaking about it. And as you mentioned, anybody who is very vocal about this issue, there is pushback. After working in a group for about 25 years, I was asked to either stop talking about it or find another job.
Uh-oh, did we lose her? There you go. Okay,
well,
you dropped out there for a second. You dropped out for a second.
Oh, sure.
You started speaking on the group.
Sorry
and what
about
happened?
That. So I began working for the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is a think tank that is dedicated to education on the science and statistics regarding the issue of life, which I loved. I do continue to practice in San Antonio, Texas. And so I'm getting to do both. I'm still delivering babies, but I'm also seeing on the ground what is happening with the narrative surrounding abortion.
Wow. Well, now what? You're right on the front lines. You're right where everything's happening. Are you seeing a lot of kickback from mothers that do not want to murder their babies? Or are you still seeing some who think, well, I can get rid of this lump if I don't like it?
Well, what I have discovered over the years is that many women fall into the action of abortion when it's not really what they want. And in fact, we just recently published a study that documented that 60% of women would have preferred to give birth, those women who had a history of an abortion. So I think the fact that there are now barriers in the way, keeping a woman from falling immediately into the act of abortion, means that many of these women get the chance to think about it. They are able to go to the many pregnancy resource centers that are available that give them support, in many cases, relationship counseling, to bring that father in and to encourage him.
You keep dropping in and out. Todd, she's got a bad connection. You might want to reconnect with her. She keeps dropping in and out. Ingrid, I think Todd's going to try calling you back because you keep dropping in and out, and it's hard to follow what you're saying. Okay. Go ahead and try our back, Todd, if you don't care. You know, folks, you would think after so many years of the fact about murdering children, but it's another sign of the moral decay in America when people have no longer even have a conscience about this, when a conscience becomes seared to the point that there's no guilt left on very many of them. Now, I'm sure, like she said, some mothers suffer terribly because of it later down the road. But to think that this could happen in today's society, over and up to after about 100 million being murdered, is still going on, and states are actually making it legal, constitutional in their states, is unbelievable. Are you back? Okay, Ingrid, are you back now?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. I don't know what happened, but you kept dropping in and out, and I don't want to miss anything you're saying. So you go ahead now. You said you run into women who weren't given an understanding of what it meant to kill the baby.
Well, I think that there's a couple of things going on. One is that young women are not educated about biology anymore. They believe it when they're told that it's a clump of cells. And yet anybody who looks online and looks for pictures of the unborn human can see how complex he is. And ultrasounds show us the same thing. So people are not educated. They're willing to believe that the child is undeveloped when, in fact, he's incredibly complex. But so many times women just fall into this action without much thought. So we've discovered that in states that do have pro-life protections, women often are glad to carry their baby once they recognize that there is support available. In Texas, we have over $100 million in alternatives to abortion funding. So there's quite a bit of support available for women to be able to continue their pregnancy and give birth to their child.
Well, what is the, do you think is the leading cause of women would look for to murder a child? Unwed mothers afraid to try to rear a child? Or, I mean, what's the reason most of them won't even want to consider it?
Well, I think that, you know, at its root, the separating the act of intercourse from the thought that a child could result leaves many people surprised if they don't use contraception or if their contraception fails. So just the casual intercourse that we're seeing so often. But it is the case, 80 to 90% of women who obtain abortions are unmarried. So, but I believe that there's also the situation where so many men, they've been told that this is a woman's issue. And so when a woman that they are with becomes pregnant, many times they don't offer her support. They tell her it's your decision alone. What she's often desperate to hear is, I love you. I want to have this baby with you. Let's get married. Let's make a go of it. But so often women don't hear that. And so they feel they have no support. They feel they have no other option other than to end the life of their child. But they know it's their child. They've already begun to bond with that child. And so it's so harmful to them emotionally and often with mental health complications.
I can't imagine, unless there's something reprobate about their minds and hearts, that they wouldn't bond with the child. I mean, that's a living individual inside them, a miracle, so to speak, in the sense of the creation of it. I can imagine they wouldn't bond with them. So when women do decide to end the life of their baby, what percentage would you say regret it later to the point that they need therapy?
Well, many, many women regret it. As far as how often do they need, you know, to seek mental health services, one thing about abortion in our country is that there's not a lot of good data. We don't really know that answer, but we do have some clues. We performed a study where we looked at women who gave birth and women who aborted their first pregnancy, and discovered that the women who aborted had double the risk of needing outpatient mental health care and triple the risk of being hospitalized for a more serious mental health complication following that abortion. So we do know that it often causes women to suffer. Studies in European countries that are better quality tell us that in the year following an abortion compared to childbirth, a woman is six times as likely to commit suicide. So, you know, it may not be every woman who suffers mentally, but many, many of them do. And unfortunately, in our country, we really have no system in place to try to detect when that is happening. And at some level, there's no desire to know, because so many people feel that this is in a woman's best interest, that they're willing to go with that assumption, even if it's unproven and has never been studied adequately.
Wow. So, to boil it down to it then, you could say at least half of them that murder the baby regret it later.
Many, many women do. I don't know exactly how many, but I would say it's probably at least that. We do know that half of the women in abortion clinics are Christian, that they say they've been in a church. And so those women, I think, would be at particularly high risk because they recognize their child was made in the image of God and they've ended their life. So many, many of these women suffer.
It's hard to imagine that a Christian would even consider that as an option. It really is. Knowing that that's a creation from God Almighty inside them, and that's hard to imagine. Maybe it's because of shame. Maybe they may shame their parents. I don't know, but it's just hard to imagine.
Well, you know, one problem is that we don't have many of the leaders in the church talking about it.
That's true.
There was a Barna poll recently asking American Christians how many were pro-life without exceptions, and it was only one quarter A third said they were pro-life, but they thought there were circumstances where that unborn life should be ended. And about a quarter said they were pro-choice. So our pastors do need to be talking about this more. They need to be explaining that the Bible speaks extensively about the unborn life and about God's care for that life.
Well, what's the biggest lie now that's put out by Planned Parenthood and others as to why they need to kill a baby? What's the biggest lie they tell mothers?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the 2 years since Roe was overturned, I've seen three really large-scale deceptions. Every single one of the states, and almost half of the states, have passed laws or have tried to implement laws protecting unborn life. Every single state has been sued by the abortion industry. Every single state is having abortion drugs being mailed into it from outside, and these women are having totally medically unsupervised, very dangerous abortions. But I think the biggest lie, the most frustrating lie, is that abortion is necessary health care, that women will die if they don't get abortions. Every single one of the states that has restrictions on abortion allows an abortion in the very rare circumstance that it's needed to save a mother's life, and yet they've lied about that. They've confused doctors, and in many cases, we see doctors not intervening when they should for a pregnancy complication because they're frightened that somehow the law is going to prosecute them, when the reality is most obstetricians do not do abortions, but and yet we've always known how to practice. We've always known how to care for a woman who has a severe risk to her life, and yet suddenly all of these doctors have forgotten or are too afraid to practice the way that they know how they should.
Well, you know, that's, wow, that's a mouthful. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Roe v. Wade supposedly turned it back over to the states, and we know states, some states, like you said, including West Virginia, where I live, has come out very much on the, we'll say, the pro-life side. But we also know many states are legalizing murder of the child inside their borders. But now this kill pill, we call it, is it legal to ship everywhere? I mean, even in states where they don't allow abortion now, is it legal to ship that into the states?
Technically, there's a federal law called the Comstock Act that does not allow abortion implements, either drugs or instruments, to be mailed through the mail. And yet, that's a federal law, and our federal government, as you might imagine, has no desire to enforce that law. So, but what is happening, the FDA, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, removed the in-person restrictions on abortion drugs. It's two drugs, mifepristone blocks progesterone receptors and kills the unborn human, followed about 24 hours later by misoprostol that causes a woman to go into labor to expel her child and the pregnancy tissue. And the FDA is now allowing this to be ordered by telemedicine or online. So right now in Texas, a woman, or maybe it's not even a woman, maybe it's a sex trafficker, we don't know. Anybody can get online, pretend to be a woman, and an abortionist in New York State or maybe outside of the country mails her those drugs. So no medical supervision whatsoever. When she has a complication, and complications are quite common, about 1 out of 20 to 1 out of 25 women will end up in an emergency room within a month because of complications of those drugs. Of course, there's no, because they've been mailed in from out of state, there's no doctor that she has a relationship with. And many times they need surgery to remove tissue that their body can't expel. Many times they hemorrhage. Sometimes they require blood transfusions or hospitalizations. So all of this is happening, and we see in retrospect, this was probably the plan all along. If Roe v. Wade was ever overturned, this is how abortion advocates are getting abortions into states that are trying to protect unborn life, and they're harming women while they do it. In Texas, I'm caring for more women now through the emergency room who've had complications than I did prior to the overturn of Roe.
Wow. You know, that's something that's never discussed on the news, the consequences of this, these kill pills. They don't discuss it. From what you have said,
no,
they make it sound like it's a simple thing. Take one pill, do this, take another pill and flush it out. and it's over in a couple of days. Doesn't work that way, does it?
No, I mean, and of course, the lying has been going on for over 50 years, and so we really shouldn't be surprised. But women are told that these drugs are safer than Tylenol. And so a young woman who doesn't understand really how pregnancy works thinks, oh, well, I took Tylenol for my headache. I'll take these pills and I'll be unpregnant. She doesn't know she's going to go into labor. She doesn't know in many cases she's going to see her child. She doesn't know how excruciating the experience is going to be, and she doesn't know how frequently the complications occur. The reason that they make that comparison is that there's really no desire in our country to detect deaths related to abortion. And so they compare the very dramatically undercounted deaths from abortion that the CDC reports to Tylenol overdose deaths in our country. And of course, we can understand that's a very dishonest comparison, and yet they're promoting these drugs to women using statements like that.
Well, you know, that's and most of the women that do this probably are home by themselves when this happens.
Absolutely. Then many of them are young, or they're college students having these bloody abortions in the dorm bathroom. I mean, it's a horrible way to treat women, regardless of what you feel about abortion. Nobody should want a woman to go through that experience alone. And yet now, as I mentioned, a 12-year-old victim of incest, her abuser can order these drugs and give them to her. Sex traffickers, coercive men. So the FDA has really failed in their duty to protect the American public from dangerous drugs. And this has all been a highly political process under President Biden, before that President Obama, and even before that President Clinton.
And what is the legal limit, supposedly? The girl has to, what age have to be before they can order the pill, supposedly?
Well, you mean how old?
Yeah, how old have to be before they can get on the phone call.
There's no lower age limit. The FDA has not set any limits on it. And in fact, they're required by law, if they give a drug to a pediatric population, to study that drug in that population. It's been 24 years since they approved mifepristone and misoprostol for abortion. They've never done that study. So they really have broken the law over and over. They've pointed at studies that don't replicate the conditions of use. Most recently, they pointed to studies that used ultrasounds to say it's okay to prescribe these drugs without doing an ultrasound first. There is a lawsuit that the Supreme Court of the United States just heard called the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus FDA, and that's the basis of the lawsuit. The FDA broke its rules, it approved dangerous drugs, it removed all of the critical safeguards, and it did it for reasons of ideology. And I hope that the Supreme Court is brave enough to really look at the details of the data and rein the FDA in on their actions.
Well, in your professional opinion, do you think the Supreme Court will get involved in this enough to really look at it?
You know, I hope they do. When the case was heard by the Supreme Court, there was a lot of discussion about standing. So the lawsuit was brought by doctors like myself who don't do abortions, and yet we're called in to take care of these women when they have complications, because, of course, the abortionist in many cases is nowhere to be found. So if the Supreme Court is not brave enough to rule on this case, they may decide that the doctors don't have standing, but I really pray that they will, because I think it's so important to try to protect women from these dangerous drugs. Of interest is that when the case was heard, Justice Alito asked the government's attorney, if doctors don't have standing to bring this case, who does have standing to sue the FDA?
True.
She said, no one has standing to sue the FDA. They are the experts.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Well, of course. So and you see a lot of women come in and see you now because of blotched murdering babies with the pills. How many would you say do you see a month with this problem? One or two or three? Or how many do you think you see?
Well, I'm only working, covering an emergency room part-time, approximately 3 days a month. And I'm in Texas. So really, I should never be seeing complications because, you know, it's illegal in my state to bring these pills in. And yet I've seen three women over the past year who've been harmed by these drugs. And I have no doubt there are many more out there that other doctors are seeing as well.
And how many percentage do you say are maybe killed because of this, die because of this?
Well, we don't know. There have been 30 deaths reported by the FDA. Many of the deaths have been women who've had an overwhelming sepsis, a very virulent infection. And in fact, the FDA's strongest warning that they can put on a drug is called a black box warning. And because of these deaths from infection, the FDA does have a black box warning on mifepristone. And yet at the same time, they allow abortion providers to promote these drugs as safer than Tylenol. So I think we can see that there's a lot of lying going on. There's a lot of failing to detect good quality data. And of course, that all benefits those who want to promote abortions. That benefits those manufacturers that make money off the abortions. But of course, it doesn't benefit these women. There are four times as many complications compared to a surgical abortion. So these women are the collateral damage of what is often a eugenic and a population control ideology. So I feel great pity for these women. They've been sold a lie. They've been sold a lie about their sexuality. They've been sold a lie about how children will ruin their lives. They've been sold a lie about how abortion is the solution to their problem. And they've been sold a lie about how these abortions are safe.
Wow. And of course, it's sold a lie from the time in kindergarten on up about how sex is normal, any way you want to be. Don't worry about it. We can always take care of the problems. Folks, that's America Today. Phone lines open next half hour, as always, at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best unstable foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSG. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents, the only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we're back here and talking to Dr. Ian Scup, and I want her, before going further, Doctor, tell folks how they can contact you and learn more about you.
It's called the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Our website is lozierinstitute.org. We've got so much information. You know, I believe many pro-life people don't know where to go to get good, scientifically backed information, and they can find it on our website. So, you know, educate yourself, educate your friends, educate your pastors, and let's get this country talking about the issue, coming at it from truth rather than just the euphemisms and lies that we've been hearing.
Well, give us your website one more time.
Lozier, Lozier Institute.org.
Okay. Now, since Roe v. Wade, everyone thought, well, gee, the murder of the baby is going to drop way down in number because states are going to pass laws against it, and it's going to drop way down. There'll be a lot less murder of children. I read a number, it's been a couple months ago, that there are probably more children killed now because of the pill than before Roe v. Wade was overturned. Is that true?
What you have to understand is that there is no accurate count happening in our country. There's never been an accurate count. The CDC reports a number every year, and the Guttmacher Institute, that is affiliated with the abortion industry, reports another number, and Guttmacher usually reports about 50% more abortions than the CDC does. What is definitely true is that the states like Texas that have pro-life protections in place are saving babies. Johns Hopkins researchers documented that at least 1,000 babies have been saved from abortion every month since the Dobbs decision. So there's definitely reason to be encouraged. But like I said, they are trying to get these abortions into the pro-life states by mailing these drugs. The Guttmacher Institute just recently said that last year, for the first time in a while, there were over 1 million abortions in our country. In 2022, and they said 63% of those were with abortion drugs. Now, again, this is the Guttmacher Institute. It's to their advantage to try to promote abortion. So whether that number is anywhere close to being true, I do not know. But they want to promote the narrative that these laws are not saving unborn children, but that is not true. I'm seeing it. Women are, you know, when they encounter a barrier in their way, in their headlong rush to abortion, many times they think about it and they decide to carry their child. And every woman I've ever cared for who's been in that situation has been glad that she gave birth to their child. Many women regret abortions. Nobody regrets having a baby.
Amen. Hey, man, that's beautiful. And I pray that continues that way and increases. Now, folks, lines open. If you have any comments, questions, 844-769-2944. Now, we discussed the appeal to quite some length. What other issues are you seeing today that you think needs brought out in the open?
Well, I think that Americans would be surprised to discover how many late abortions occur in our country. In fact, Charlotte Lozier has looked at this issue a couple of times. Very recently, we published a paper that demonstrates that we're one of only 8 countries in the world that will allow an elective abortion at any time in pregnancy. People say, no, that surely that doesn't happen. It does happen, and most of those are healthy moms and healthy babies. So it's not life of the mother. It's not fetal anomalies. It is women who probably want their babies, and yet they try to keep their pregnancy a secret, perhaps from their parents or perhaps from a coercive, abusive man. And when they get further along in the pregnancy where it can't be hidden anymore, someone in their life coerces them into an abortion. So those numbers, again, if we had 1 million abortions, 10% are after the first trimester. So 10% are when a baby can feel pain while being dismembered in an abortion. That's about 100,000 abortions a year. 1% happen after that baby has the ability to live separated from his mother. That's about 10,000 abortions a year. And we know that about 90% of those are healthy moms and healthy babies. So 9,000 perfectly healthy babies that we kill every year for elective reasons.
And I know you know this is true also. The baby parts are marketed, are they not?
Yeah, that's been very well documented. David DeLeiden went undercover at Planned Parenthood and documented that they will even modify the technique in order to get the best viable baby parts, livers and brains and things like that. And, of course, you know, that didn't get much traction. You know, the Planned Parenthood said it was a lie, and every single media source went along with that, but it's not a lie. It's not surprising at all that they would, if they're willing to kill, they're also willing to continue to profit off of those late-term babies.
Now, this is a question maybe you can't answer, but it's been on my mind. It's hard to understand this. My mind cannot comprehend this, but is it a fact that some women will become pregnant just so they can have an abortion and sell the babies or use for some kind of sacrificial lamb, so to speak?
Oh, my goodness. The more I become engaged in this issue, the more I'm convinced that at its heart, it is a spiritual issue. It is a moral issue. And I think that we've all seen since the Roe v. Wade overturned that while some states have tried very hard to protect life, the other half of the country, those states have gone the opposite direction. They're trying to go further than Roe even went. They're trying to say no limit for any reason at any time in pregnancy. And they're passing laws protecting abortionists. For example, if a New York abortionist mails drugs into my state of Texas and kills a woman, New York has a law in place that does not allow us to go after that abortionist, to punish that abortionist. So we really see that our country is splitting into two very extreme positions on this issue. And along with that, as you said, we see telling women to shout their abortion. We see satanic cult members saying this is a ritual that they need for their freedom to practice religion. It doesn't surprise me if that's happening. And I think we all need to recognize that this is, at some level, this is human sacrifice. And, you know, and our pastors, again, they need to understand that this is occurring and that we, as a formerly Christian nation, we need to engage with this issue. The people who remain Christians should understand the issue and they should be vocally pro-life because God values these humans that he's created and that he's made in his image.
Of course. And you said something is so true. Everything that's done in this world, every physical act that's ever been done, starts from the spiritual side because it starts in the heart of man, the spirit of man. Whether it's good or evil, all acts are spiritual. and they have spiritual consequences. People don't like to think about that because, you know, we're told in Galatians that God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, we're going to reap. And what comes out of the heart of man, good or evil, is manifested in that individual. So to kill children in the womb, and God help us now outside the womb for profit, is of Satan. It's a sacrifice. You said it's a spiritual sacrifice. Every murdered child is because it's been a spiritual sacrifice to Satan. And I try to tell people all the time that Satan does not gain power. He gains influence. He doesn't become omnipotent. He's not capable of that. But he gains influence with society. And I think that's obvious. When you look at our society today, look how chaotic, immoral, and just absolutely insane it's become because of the sin of allowing people to do what they think is best for themselves with no consequence. That's America today. Would you agree?
Well, I think we've come a long way from how God told us to order our society, and I think that we are suffering because of it. So I would love to see people's eyes opened and to return, open their Bible, and find out what their Bible really says. And I think if that were to happen, I think we would see families restored, we would see children welcomed, and we would really see blessing instead of cursing that we're currently seeing.
I agree completely. That's called repentance. And that's sorely needed in this country today. It really is. Even in the churches, they have no idea what repentance truly is. Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to our brother Gary in Indiana. Gary, come on in. Welcome. Arizona. Come on in, Gary.
That's okay, Butch. Well, God bless you, ma'am. I think I talked with you the last time that you were on this show. You know, I stand up for life here in Arizona. I take to the streets and show people what abortion truly is. I show them pictures of preborn babies. I show them, pictures of aborted babies, and so they can see, you know, what really happens. And unfortunately, churches don't help me very much. And when I first started this, I found that out the hard way, and it broke my heart. I figured that everybody would wanna, come to the street. Jesus and his disciples went to the street, and witnessed to people. And a lot of people don't want to come outside the four walls of the church, and that's very unfortunate. You help me out on this, Butch. I thought it was Psalm 106, but I could be wrong on that. According to Scripture, he tells them everything that they went through from the time that they came out of bondage, and he told them very clearly, you shall not sacrifice. My children. He says my children. They're not yours. They're his children. And that's what he said, to these idols. And Stephen, in his recitation, before the Sanhedrin, just about quoted that scripture. And I want people to think about that, because when Stephen was quoting that scripture, Israel was in bondage.
Oh, yes.
Because of the things that he talked about in Psalm 106, I believe it was, like I said, and also what he was quoting right there. So this is a spiritual matter. I mean, these children are made in the image of God. God's a spirit. And we're all made, fashioned, in God's image, in God's likeness. And we have been sacrificing our children for years and years and years, and the judgment of God is upon us for that.
And Gary, look at how callous the states had a choice now. We can stop murdering babies, can totally stop it if we want to, or at least slow it way down. So far, we've had six states put on the ballot to become constitutional in their states, and all six of them passed it that they can murder babies. That's how callous America's become. That in itself is a very damning statement, is it not?
Well, yeah, yes, it is. It was right here in Arizona, when they first passed that law that you could not do that. And then a couple months later, that was overridden, and now they're doing it anyway, and bringing these terrible, terrible pills in. And, you know, I have to talk with young women on the street quite frequently, you know, and they've been indoctrinated, you know. See, this is demonic. They've been indoctrinated, and they come up with talking points, you know. Like one girl says to me, well, yo, you know, you're a man. You know, you can't have a can you have a baby? Do you have a uterus? And, I don't play their games. I just say, yeah, I have a uterus. Anything else you want to know? Yeah, do I have bosom? Yes, I have bosom. You know, and then they don't know what to do, you know. They sit there and they get mad and huffy and puffy and leave. I would like to be able to have a decent conversation with people so I could show them the truth.
Yes,
but these people have been taught just terribly by their own people, their next door neighbor, you know, people, they go to school. It's easy to be pro-choice when you're not the one chosen to be to die, and that's what I tell people. So you think about that, you know, before you make a mistake that you'll hate for the rest of your life. I guarantee you'll do that. I've talked to him. And excuse me, doctor, what's your name? Again, I'm sorry, I'm not good with names.
That's okay, Dr. Scott.
Oh, S-K-O-P, stop. Okay. S-K-O-P.
Okay. I'm so very glad that you're on with Butch. And like I said, I talked with you in the past, and thank you. And God's blessing be upon you. And so we will do everything we possibly can to bring this to an end. And I thank you for, you know, taking the right stand. My blessings to you. And I'll let somebody else get on.
Thank you. Thank you. Well,
thank
call.
You for what you do.
You know, this issue we're talking about, this issue has been debated back and forth, and really there should be no debate to it. It's murder regardless. But nonetheless, for 50 years now, it's been battered back and forth. We're going to change, but we're going to put the right people in office. They're going to change it. Republicans will change it. That hasn't really happened. It hasn't happened. Now, the Senate hasn't said we're going to go against murdering children, and neither is the House. It isn't going to happen that way. It's a hot topic. And taking a stand on it can cost you an election. And the politicians know that. Now, I'm saying this very kindly, but I'm telling the truth. 99% of people up in Washington are not statesmen, they're politicians. They won't re-elect because they got a nice, cushy job. Or they may put on a show once in a while that shows indignation and all. But overall, most of them, it's a show. And they're happy with the status quo because they still get a good paycheck. A lot of good benefits and some prestige of being a senator or a congressman. Would you say that's a pretty accurate statement?
Well, I think that, at some level they become accustomed to the power that comes from being a politician, and they lose the what might have brought them to Washington initially. I think many of them come with the idea that they are going to take a stand for moral issues. But sadly, so many of them, lose that along the way. I think that happened in Arizona recently because they overturned their law when their Supreme Court finally allowed them to implement it, and it was two Republicans that crossed over to vote with the Democrats to allow abortion in that state. So it is sad to see, but yes, a lot of people are there's other priorities for them other than protecting unborn life.
Well, you have two Republicans. You know, you've heard the battle back and forth. The Democrats are doing this, Republicans are doing that. Both of them, as a whole, have done really nothing to stop a lot of things. We know that. That's just the way it is. I mean, I've been around longer than you have, and I've been through several administrations, and I don't care who was in office, who controlled the House and Senate, nothing really changed. It may have slowed things down a little bit, but over all my lifetime, Dr. Ingrid, we went from a nation that used to know boys from girls. Boys could not wear long hair to school. Girls had to wear dresses to school. And now they don't know which is which. That's how far it's come in my lifetime. So changing administrations has not done a whole lot to change this country. That's why I say politicians.
It needs to change at the heart level of the average American. We need to
depend
on our government to make these changes for us. We need to change our hearts and reach out and take care of the women in crisis among us. And There are 3,000 pregnancy resource centers in our country that are doing that. So there are many, many Americans who are committed to helping to help women avoid abortion and help them to give birth to their children. So that always encourages me. But yes, you're right. The politics is dysfunctional, but hearts and minds are changing. I think people just need to really investigate, consider the issue on their own, not in the framework of what's going to make me popular, what's the popular position to have, but what's the moral position, what's the right position to have on this issue.
Well, you know, in order to have your heart changed, there has to be some knowledge of what's wrong or what sin is, basically, and then there has to be repentance. Repentance in the church's days, even in churches, are a very unpopular word, to repent. Yet Christ said without repentance, there's no hope. But the people in America today seem to be immune or almost callous to the idea that we need to repent and change directions and do something about what's going on. They may talk about it, but as far as getting involved, they just don't do it. And I've been around a long time, like I said. I've been preaching over 45 years, on the radio over 31 years. And by the grace of God, we've seen some progress in the individual lives. But as far as this nation goes, ever since I've been on the radio, it's gotten worse and worse. No matter how much we've talked, and I certainly am not by myself, many other people doing the same thing, it's just steadily gotten worse and worse and caused more confusion. And now we're seeing more anger and hatred between people that are on either side of whatever the situation may be. And that's also part of the plan to bring this country down, to cause civil unrest and to cause a lot of chaos so they can come in and force order upon us. But I cannot tell you how much I appreciate people like you. You're a warrior, and you're steadfast. And I know being a man and you being a lady, there are days probably you look back and say, gee, have I accomplished anything or not? But as Edmund Burke said, duty is ours, consequences are God. So I want to thank you for your constant battle. You never quit. I don't know how you do it, but you never quit.
Well, thank you. The fight is an important one. So I'm going to continue to fight for women and their babies because, of course, they're both being harmed by this the scourge of abortion.
I don't know what else I can add to this. I mean, we've covered so many different topics, but we got about 2 minutes left. What do you want to tell the world? What's on your mind? If this were the last time you get a chance to talk to the world, what do you want to tell them?
Well, I want people to think independently. I want them to educate themselves about the issue and really consider what's happening. Our country, over 95% of abortions are for social and financial reasons. This is a human life. Do we as a people, do we as a country want to end human life for reasons such as those? Is that who we are, or can we do better?
Okay. And what would you suggest people, just regular people, do? What would you suggest they do?
Well, in addition to just having the conversation, which is hard to have, I understand that because it is so divisive, but look around you in your community. Find a local pregnancy resource center. Support them financially. Usually everything they do is free of charge to these women. Go and volunteer. See what you can do on the ground to come alongside a woman in crisis so that she can do what she probably really wants to do, and that is to give birth to her child. She just needs to be surrounded by people who say, you were strong enough to do this.
And all the years you've been in this, I'm sure that you've seen women come to you and ask for help, and the baby was saved. And that has to be some of the most rewarding moments of your lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. Every child is a gift, is a blessing. And as a country, we need to go back to that way of thinking. These are not burdens. These are blessings. And regardless of the circumstances of conception, every child deserves a chance to be born, to have the life that we've all had.
Amen. It's not the baby's fault. It is not the baby's fault, no matter what the reason is. Dr. Ingrid, thank you so much. Give up the website one more time.
It's Lozier, L-O-Z-I-E-R, Institute.org.
Well, Folks, you got that. Look it up. Check it out. And check out what Dr. Ingrid's doing. A lady, a warrior for Christ. And I'm honored to have on the broadcast. Dr. Ingrid, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate, again, your steadfastness and your courage. Keep swinging the sword, and I'll do what I can to help.
All right. Thanks, Pastor Butch. It's been a pleasure.
All right, honey. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much. Folks, how else I can add to this? That was a great, great interview with her. A lady's got, I'd say, patience. And patience is a virtue. Sometimes I may lack some on that issue, but I try to be patient as I go through this world and try to make a difference. I want to thank each and every one of you for the kind email you sent me. With the lesson I just taught this past week in Bible study, thanks for your comments. For the letter, for each article put on News with Views, thanks for your comments. And thank you so much for the donation you send to help us pay the bills here. Thank you, and God bless you for your stand with us. Folks, we would not be here if you weren't there. Please understand this. The only reason we can be on the air is because folks like you are out there. We would not be here without your help. Thank you so much. And please don't forget us in prayer. And stand with us financially if you can, because we want to be here as long as our Father will allow, folks. I'm 75 years old, almost 76. Don't know how much time I have left on this earth. But I pray with us one day or 10 more years that I don't waste a minute of it, that I do something to glorify our Father in heaven. Thank you for loving us and caring for us like you have and being a friend to us for so, so long. Your love and prayers for us is more than I can explain, and how I don't like to use the word feel, but I can't explain how I feel about it because it almost brings tears in my eyes. Thank you all so much. I'll see you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful evening. God bless. Good night.
Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of